You're on with Mario Lopez.
Hey, you're on Mario and Courtney Lopez, and joining us right now, a good friend of the show. He's been on a few times, legendary singer Michael Bolton. How's it going, Michael?
It's going excellent. You know, technology is a piece of cake, so this is
a problem. Technology is, as Mario always says, he's kind of like Fred Flintstone, so he has the same troubles with technology as well. But you're hosting the Celebrity Dating Game. It's over on ABC, Monday nights. So regular people are going to be winning dates with celebrities, right?
You are correct.
This is exciting.
I've watched the Celebrity Dating Game. Well, not Celebrity, but the Dating Game, you know, in the 60s. It was huge. It was between 65 and 73.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that some of the biggest actors, some of the people who became some of our world's biggest actors, were contestants.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Sally Field and Ron Howard, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's funny, I mean, in context anyway, because then I don't think people knew who they were.
I did not know that.
It's another fact. It's something I'm teaching the world
now. Yes, you are.
Thank
you.
A lot of people didn't know that, but I wanted to do my homework, so I watched a bunch of episodes.
And Zoe Deschanel is your co-host, right?
Zoe Deschanel is my amazing co-host.
So what is the dynamic like between the two of you?
So we had enough time during rehearsals to get to know each other and get our sense of humor, basically, our mutual sense of humor working. She is such a pleasure to work with, and we just have fun on the set. And a lot of times you're waiting in between while, you know, lighting resets and there are kind of interruptions. And she's just fun to hang out with and a great sense of humor. And then she's very cute. She's known to be very cute. That's what she says. That's what people tell her.
I can totally see you guys cracking jokes all the time. Is that what happens?
That's what's going on the set.
Yeah. I totally can see that.
Which is encouraged by the network because it turns out, you know, the more fun it looks like we're having, the more fun the audience is going to have.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Now, I've heard some exciting news that you're going to be singing on the show and doing some parodies of your hits. Is that true?
That's very true. That's part of the whole deal closer for me when I heard we were going to have lots of music throughout the show. And then I got this list of songs, like maybe 50 or 60 of them, and realized I'm going to do 16 songs for 16 episodes.
Wow.
Let's see what voice is left by the end of all that.
Oh, you're a professional. It'll be great.
But I was told, Michael, you're a professional. That she should be nothing to you.
Right.
Some of the songs you're singing in kind of high range.
Right.
Voice.
Right.
And so halfway through, I was feeling really relieved that we got through the bulk of the heavy lifting, basically. Yes.
Oh no, you had mentioned some of the celebrities in the original version of the show. Who are some of the celebrities we're going to see this time?
Well, let's see. Am I prepared to tell you that? And I don't know if they want me to mention all the names.
Who's one?
Okay, so Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, Fluffy.
Oh, okay. Aww.
Iggy Azalea.
Okay.
Who I didn't know was like the biggest female rapper in the world.
Yeah.
Australian, and it was so funny.
You should do a collab with her.
I think it entered both our minds, actually, because I have a huge core base of fans in Australia, and I love Australia.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to twist my arm to go there and record and do promotion. And she was really funny because there's so much that happens unexpectedly if you just let two people talk about a date and wherever that conversation goes. And this, one of the contestants, this guy had no idea how he was kind of offending Iggy by not knowing anything about Australia.
Oh.
And And he kept saying, well, yeah, well, I know there's kangaroos there. That's what they got, the kangaroos. Right? And I would see the look on her face, and I think, this guy doesn't really want to date that badly.
Right.
Because he's pushing the wrong buttons here.
So
they can't see it.
Yeah, well, that kind of answers my next question. Do the contestants know who the celebrity dater?
Like, yeah, do they know
who
it is?
No, they don't know who it is. And when I start to sing, I'm singing a classic song that the world is, you know, has embraced forever. And then I get to certain notes and I change the lyrics to a parody to give the audience and give the contestants a clue.
Oh. That'll
help them guess who I'm singing to and who that celebrity guest is.
And then so, do you let them guess?
Yes, we prompt them. We encourage them to guess. And it's pretty funny because you don't know if someone's going to be embarrassed by the name, by, you know, who they think your voice is. Your voice sounds just very much like Steve Perry. Are you Steve Perry? And we start laughing because we know it's not Steve Perry. But we also can't give too much away.
Right, right.
So you kind of can't, you know, like there are a few of them that are friends of mine, a few guests, celebrity guests, that I wanted to go over there and hug, and, you know, but first of all, there was COVID. Second of all, mm-hmm. then everybody would know I knew the person.
Right.
And so there are always like parameters basically to be conscious of. But it was just a lot of fun. You know Margaret Cho?
Yes.
Yes.
Margaret Cho, I love Margaret Cho. She may have pulled off one of the funniest bits
of all.
But there are a whole bunch of them. I'm trying to keep up with the latest news about what we can say and what we can't say yet.
Yeah, because you don't want to give it all away. And
can you?
Right.
Did they actually go on a date?
So that's not a decision that I make. So you're going to have to watch this.
Totally.
Although I did have a couple of people hitting on me, which is kind of cute.
Well, you never know.
In an awkward way.
Yeah, I mean, you never know who you're going to
So we're going to have to
meet.
We'll have to follow up with Iggy Azalea and see if she actually went on the date with a guy who was obsessed with kangaroos or not.
I mean, I thought it was going to get hostile. I mean, really. Because the Australians are very proud about their country, but she was really, she was just kind of hammering this guy with, like, do you know anything at all? So bits like that become entertaining and unexpectedly.
Yeah, you said that there's a lot of funny moments, and obviously the Iggy moment was a little awkward. Were there more awkward moments than funny moments, or more funny than awkward?
More funny than awkward, but definitely awkward moments throughout. There's, again, I'm in an area that I've not been advised about what I'm getting into, how far I can get into it, but...
What you're saying is watch.
You know what? That's what I'm really saying.
Yes. Just
so
watch.
I want to know the answer. Watch the show, watch Celebrity Dating Game, and come along for this ride where people looking to be matched and looking for love say the funniest things.
So I know that you also have a podcast. Is this the first time you've hosted something on television, like a show like this?
Well, I've had some specials. I did a Netflix special, my Sexy Valentine's Day special. And we started talking about doing more. And this is the first time that I've actually ever hosted a reality show. So it was kind of daunting at the beginning.
Yeah.
It took a little while to just get used to it.
No, totally, totally.
I'm used to walking up to the mic and singing.
Right. No, because you have to be on and you have to just be able to respond and everything's organic.
And you're running it.
Now you tell me.
All right, well, switching gears a bit.
On and funny.
On and funny, yeah, no pressure. No pressure.
Zoe is awesome at doing that, too. She was taking on the heavy lifting as far as introducing the next celebrity guests, contestants. It was great. It was kind of had a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
How much work that really is.
It's nice when you have somebody to play off of and to, you know, carry the load with you. But switching gears for a bit, I see you're playing a bunch of live shows later this year. Are you excited to get back on stage with your fans?
I'm so excited. Excited isn't the word. I mean, it's like I want it to start happening so I can breathe again about it. And my band and crew and, you know, 20 people I travel with, you know, they have families as well, and everybody's the big question mark, the big looming when.
Right.
When do we have life again? When are we back to life? But we're feeling it, and the promoters are calling in and actually moving forward with contracts and commitments. And that's a tell, because
that's a good
sign.
I'm
sure a lot of people are concerned about insurance and everybody being safe.
Of course.
It has to, you know, jump through a few hoops to get real.
Right. There's a lot of extra steps going forward.
Yep. And they're being taken. And I had a month in England booked right when the pandemic hit. And that's back on the books.
Great.
So, again, I'll believe it, and I'll tell you when it's happening.
I know. Well, during the pandemic, did you use that opportunity to write any new music?
I wrote and produced an entire album.
Awesome.
And I got to work with a lot of young writers who had never really written on Zoom or, you know, FaceTime before.
Right.
It worked for us because we were all hungry to be musical again. I mean, the main thing I wanted to see my family.
Mm-hmm.
I was like kind of flipping out about that. I just want to hug the kids.
Yeah.
And eventually that happened after some quarantine. And then I think we were just going crazy not making music. So we found a way.
That's great.
And so, yeah, this entire album with a lot of young artists, young producers, songwriters, bringing fresh ideas, and they wanted something classic, mm-hmm. in their careers as songwriters, and I wanted something fresh and contemporary. So, hopefully, between the two, we merged enough to get songs that people are going to really love.
Well, you know, as soon as you write something, right, you feel it. You know, you say, yes, like, this is good. So,
you know you're onto something.
Right.
When you are.
Right. Okay, Michael, well, before we let you go, we're going to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Oh, this again.
Yes, yes.
Every time.
Where's Mario?
Mario, I know he was sad. He was so sad to have to leave. But we want to know, what is your perfect date?
Wow. there's so many possibilities. I think, though, that the perfect date would be at a really quiet restaurant with a corner table, so you could hear every word,
mm-hmm.
and you could hear yourself think.
Mm-hmm.
And conversation that makes you feel like you've known the person you're dating forever.
Okay.
Where you can almost finish each other's sentences.
That sounds
not
like...
Not in a predictable way.
That kind of sounds like that would be your soulmate.
So that's my idea of a perfect date.
Okay. If you could invite anyone to dinner, who would it be?
I don't think I can answer.
The correct answer was Michael Bolton. It was to invite yourself to dinner. Go-to late-night snack.
At least I know what I eat. What's that?
Go-to late-night snack.
Late-night snack. I'm really trying, and I'm doing pretty well, at power bars.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to the chips, like six different types of chips that are in the kitchen.
I know. I caved and had some last night. I'm so mad at myself.
You did. Yeah. What kind did you have?
Well, I bought French onion dip at this grocery store, and then I knew I had just plain Lay's potato chips at home, and, well, mm-hmm. Mama went to town.
You had this at like 11 p.m.?
No, but I had it at like 8:30, which is, I don't want to have it that late.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
I had to stop buying chips because I would just eat them if they were there. So
eat all the way to the bottom of the bag, basically.
Basically,
no
like
the size of the bag, that's the problem.
Yeah, you don't want to waste anything.
Just like a monster over the sink, just shoving them in your mouth. If you could take a class, what would the subject be?
I would probably want a class where I could actually really learn to play piano and well enough that I could play it and sing. I write on the piano, but I'm a guitarist.
Oh, okay.
And my whole life I've felt like, I'm going to learn piano. My life got too busy in 86, 87. Everything took off. And next thing I knew, 10 years later, I'd written 15, 20 hits and songs for a lot of other artists, but not one of them on the piano.
Wow.
So I'd like to have a shot at learning piano.
Okay.
I'm not sure which class, or which music class that would be, but that's the reason.
Piano class.
No, that'd be great.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. And I feel like you'd be so good at it because you already know.
Yeah, right.
Things, right? Like, I think you would just be awesome. If you could teach a class, what would the subject be?
Probably music-oriented, young aspiring writer artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've found that I'm often asked, you know, because a lot of people know it took me 18 years from my first record contract until my first hit song.
18 years, wow.
And 18 years, yeah. I was 34 when I had Soul Provider come out. And looking back, I realized that I didn't have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So people would ask, you know, so what do you do? Like, when you know, I mean, isn't it hard to, like, not know where your rent check is coming from? Like, yeah, it's really hard. When you have a family, it's brutal. It's just, you know, you can't let the kids know how tough it is.
Right.
But I never forget that time. I never forget where I came from and how hard it was to get to where I've been. I think when I hear hunger in a person's voice and the passion in their voice, that I know they're going to really go for it. And if I get a chance to actually hear them do some singing, and I go, wow, that should be that should be streaming, it should be on the radio, it should be everywhere. What do you want to do? Well, I'm kind of, you know, thinking of an R&B kind of career, whatever it is. I feel like I could give them advice that would potentially expedite the process, or at least give them more encouragement. As tough as the business is now, I would never talk anybody into diving into the music business. I would also never try to
talk them out of it.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. you can finish my.
Look at that. We're soulmates. I'm already finishing your sentences.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at a corner table.
All I'm missing is the restaurant.
Exactly. We're just missing all that. On with Mario Lopez.